as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, God the Lord Almighty speaks and will not be silent. And like the fire of the sun and the winds of a tempest, God summons his people together in heaven and on earth to judge them with justice based on the covenant they have made. So says our psalmist today in the 50th Psalm. He says, God will not be silent. He will be heard. Now, whether we actually hear him and listen, that's another matter altogether, isn't it? So all of our readings today are from the lectionary. But just as a reminder, the lectionary is a schedule, it's a calendar. It's a schedule of scripture readings on a weekly basis, and it runs on a 3-year cycle. And it's been in place, the same lectionary has been in place since 1994. And it's used by many congregations, including the UCC, you know, all around the world. And I think you know this. I typically, almost always, review the lectionary readings every single week. And I'm often, you know, influenced by the readings and the theme that they represent. But I don't always follow them. Maybe I'll follow some of the readings, but not all. But this week, all of these readings, including the one that we just had, responsive reading, all of these readings are from the lectionary. And the theme here, we can see it, is pretty stern. Quite stern. God is talking. God is talking. He will not be silent. And he wants us to listen, and listen now. Sounds like me talking to my grandkids, right? Or my daughter. In our first reading today, the great prophet Isaiah, right? Probably the most major of the 4 major prophets, right, Charlie? He tells us this. Isaiah tells us this in verse 10. He says, hear the word of the Lord and listen to the instructions of our God. Isaiah is saying what our psalmist said. He says, pay attention, folks. God is speaking, and you better listen. And you better listen now. And what God is quoted as saying here in Isaiah, in this passage, is pretty interesting. God is speaking here, and he's saying this. He's saying, listen up, folks. Your ceremonies, your sacrifices, your offerings, and even your prayers. Did you catch that? Even your prayers mean nothing to me. They're the detestable. Use the word detestable, and even a burden to me, says God. If your acts, your deeds, lack justice and mercy, and you fail to do what's right. And God wants us to fix this problem now, not later. Verse 18, quote, come now, let us settle the matter. Let us settle it now, says the Lord. Let's get it fixed, and let us get it fixed now, not later. And this really becomes a major focus of the ministry of a man named Jesus. Getting our hearts right, and doing it in the here and now. In our gospel reading today, from Luke chapter 12, verses 33 and 34, Jesus tells us to sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, why? Why would he tell us that? He says, He goes on, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will your heart be. The lesson there is not about our possessions, which I don't really think he cares that much about. The lesson there is about our hearts. We should be giving and volunteering and all that stuff to charities, the things you guys do. We should be doing those things to charities for our church. Absolutely. Should we give everything? Everything we own? No, I don't think so. I'm not going to do it. I say that pretty often. I think that's hyperbole. Jesus used hyperbole and metaphors often, the Bible does, to make a point, to teach a lesson. The question is, where does it fall within our hearts? Where are our priorities, our treasures? Is it our own personal needs and desires? Do we put ourselves first? You know, selfishly. Quite frankly, like a child would. Last week we talked about a man named Noah. You weren't there. Last week we talked about a man named Noah. Did he put himself first? No, he did not. We read last week from the author of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7, quote, "By faith, Noah built the ark to save," who, himself? No, to save his family. By faith, Noah built the ark to save his family. So for Noah, faith came first. You know, God was first. Then others, his family, came next. He was serving them. You know, he came whenever. He came third, I guess. He came later. If he thought about himself at all, I don't know. And this was the character of the man who God chose to save all of us, to save all of mankind. And this becomes the model for us all. Love God, and then love others. And then Jesus promised, he promised, if you follow that model, our joy would be complete. Okay, but also, further on in our gospel reading today, Jesus continues to stress the importance of getting our hearts right, right now. Quote, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready." Right? "You must be ready," it says, "for the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it." Eh? Be ready. That means be ready now. Not later. When Jesus taught and preached, I mean, he certainly stressed the importance of loving God. I mean, that's obviously true. But honestly, by far, most of his time was spent talking about how we should treat each other and how we should behave in the here and now. That was by far the focus of his teachings. And why was that? Was it because if we don't behave well now, he might later throw us into the eternal lake of fire? I mean, he can if he wants to, right? If that's what he chooses to do. Bible says all authority over eternal salvation has been granted to the Son. That's him. So I guess he can if he wants to, but that's definitely not what he said he came to do. He clearly came to keep us out of hell, not put us into it. We can and do put ourselves in and through hell all by ourselves. That's obviously true. And Jesus repeatedly warned us about it. The question again is, are we listening? One of the best verses on this, you've heard it before, is from Luke 21:34. Quote, "Be careful," this is Jesus talking, "be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close in on you suddenly like a trap." End quote. Does he want that to happen to us? No, he doesn't want that to happen to us. That's the point. And that's Jesus in his pretty mild-mannered way warning us that our poor behavior will put us in and through hell. Okay, but you want to be a little more explicit? Listen to our own St. Paul, who could be a little grumpy. We all know that. This is from Galatians chapter 5. He puts it this way. "The acts of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfishness, of course, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you," says St. Paul, "I warn you, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." End quote. "They will not inherit the kingdom of God," says St. Paul. Well, no. No, they won't. Not on earth. Not on earth they won't, that's for sure. Because why? What did Jesus say? Because the world will collapse on them like a trap. So in closing, do you guys ever listen to or watch or read like true crime stories? All the time, yeah. That's good. I recently read the book about the Roseboro murder down the street. I drive by that house almost every day. God bless her. And I also occasionally, pretty often, will listen to like a true crime series on a podcast, like a Dateline, you know, one of those types of 48 hours. I tell you what, you'll vouch for this. They're all somewhat similar. It's about adults with spouses and children who put themselves and their selfish desires first. The opposite of what we're called to do. And the inevitable happens. Just like Jesus said it would. Life collapses on them like a trap. Yeah, for thousands of years, God has been speaking. He will not be silent. Even now, he's speaking to us. The choice is ours. There's no excuses. People give excuses. I don't buy it. There's no excuses. The choice is ours, whether or not we're going to listen. Amen.